Blog Talk Radio.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance.
brought me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down.
Tuned in and live at 10 a.m. at The Last Call. This is The Last Call here. We have the crew together right here this Sunday morning to talk about all NBA, NFL, college basketball, college football, and maybe even a little soccer coming your way. Some may like to call it football. We have the crew here. We're about to jump in heavy right now. We're going to start with a little NBA action here, NBA / college basketball. One of the stories of the week that came up for us was the fact that the Ball family continues to make a stab at what they do on a day-to-day basis here. One thing they have decided to do is that LaMelo and LiAngelo Ball, the youngest and the middle child, has decided to drop out of high school, or not really drop out of high school, he's homeschool, and LiAngelo, the middle child, decided to go play overseas in Lithuania. Not sure really where exactly that place is on the map, but that is my ignorance, and I need to go look at a map. But they're going to play ball in Lithuania for their time being there. I'm curious, Kine, how do you feel about this? Dropping out of college to go play professional ball overseas, leaving your high school to go be homeschool and go play professional ball overseas, two very, very young guys, both under the age of 21, making these types of decisions, and their father kind of backing them on this decision so they can go pro. Talk to me, Kine.
I think it's a fairly smart decision, because I think LeVar knows that his two sons are not that good. And he knows they're going to have trouble making it straight to the NBA, especially LiAngelo from UCLA. So I think he's trying to get them to play a little tougher, learn a little more through playing some type of professional basketball. I think that's what he's hoping to get out of this. So LiAngelo can, like, quickly – develop. And I know he still has his goal of having all three of them play in the NBA and the Lakers, but – that's what I think he's trying to get out of this.
Do you think he succeeds on his goal of making sure all of his sons make it to the NBA?
I think it's possible. I don't know about the Lakers, but I think it's possible. Lonzo made it. I didn't think he was that nice, but at UCLA.
Okay. I mean, switching it up a bit then. Next story I have for you in the NBA. Your boy Carmelo from OKC, finally returns back to MSG Madison Square Garden in New York here. But it looks like, ooh, the Knicks took that one. They beat them 111-96 here. Porzingis and Tim Hardaway both balled out, and Melo continued to struggle. How do you feel about Melo, and what is your take on him as he took this loss coming back home to New York to a place and area where a lot of people hated him?
Okay, I thought this year, you know, I was so hopeful when he came to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought this year would be the year that he'd finally, you know, develop, change his game a little bit, not just shoot. Now that he has two other stars on his team that are much better than he is, and then he has a great supporting cast. He has Steven Adams. Jeremy Grant is going to develop well. He got a bunch of solid role players. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe he'll learn to move the ball around a lot more now, now that he's on his team. Doesn't seem to be happening. We're now, like, how many games in? We're now 29 games in. He doesn't seem to be doing that at all. He shot 5 for 18 last night, which is horrible, 27%. I don't know why he just keeps shooting when he's clearly missing. Like, I just him and Russ have that problem, too. And it probably was a personal game because he's going against the Knicks, so he probably thought he had to do the most to prove himself. But, I mean, looks like the Knicks had the last laugh. Carmelo's got to game up because this is why every time he goes to a team, they keep doing poorly. Like, it's like he's kind of a cancer to the team, I hate to say it, but he has to switch his game up. He can't just shoot all the time. He had one assist last night. Like, really? Come on.
But that's his game, though. That's where his success has been. I mean, it's kind of like Allen Iverson at one point in time, is that Allen Iverson was a scorer and was a shooter on the 76ers. When he went to the Nuggets,
but
he
Allen
continued
did that
to do
well,
the same thing.
Allen Iverson did that well. Carmelo's not doing that well, so he should switch it up. Like, when you're shooting under 30%, probably pass the ball. You know what I'm saying? It would be one thing if he's doing this and, like, he's averaging, like, 23 points and having a, you know, a healthy percentage and it's efficient for the team. Then I'm like, go ahead, man, that's your thing. Go ahead, do it. Like Lou Williams, you know what I mean? I'm like, go ahead, keep shooting. But that's not happening. So if it ain't happening, fix it. If it's broke, fix it. You know what I mean?
That's real.
I don't know what it is, man.
I mean, again, what do you feel about OKC? Now they're under 500. Kind of on the bottom charts of the West. Do you think they have an opportunity to continue to grow and maybe even still make it to the playoffs? Can Russell Westbrook probably take them to the playoffs now and do what he does with the phenomenal work he always can play? Because at any point, Russell can take over the game.
See, I was buying on the OKC if you would have asked me like a few weeks ago. But I don't know. Now, I'm starting to – I think I might sell. Like, I'm getting nervous because it really relies on two of their players. I know Paul George is like – Paul George can he reshapes his game all the time. So I'm not worried. I'm not too concerned about Paul George. I'm concerned about Carmelo and Russell Westbrook. These two are the most stubborn players, it appears like, ever. So I don't think they're going to make the right decision that's best for the team. Like, I don't think they're going to change their game. I don't think they're going to try to make an overall decision for the team. They're going to get stuck in their ways, like Russell clearly still does, Carmelo still does. And it's like the type of game they're playing clearly is not helping their team. Every other superstar team that came together so far, you can see the sacrifices they made to try to get better. Cavs are already on a great foot right now, despite all the new players they have. They literally have an entirely new team, and they figured it out. Same thing with Houston. They got the ball rolling right now. So I don't know what it is with OKC. It's like they're just not trying to do that. And until those two players decide to do what's best for the team, it's just going to be the same thing over and over.
Okay. Nonetheless, though, I feel like New York Knicks may have an opportunity. They're on a little game winning streak here, where Kristaps is leading the way with this team. Do you think the Knicks, though, have an opportunity to kind of do something in the kind of the playoff race on the East?
I think so. I don't know. Earlier, I thought this was a joke, but it's actually coming to be true. Like, the Knicks are actually having a decent run right now. Like, not to say that they're going to do anything really special, but they might make the playoffs. You know, I'm not ruling that out. Since Melo has left, they're doing a lot better. They're like top 10 in the league in assist category. Less isolation plays. Their opponents are 13th overall with opponents' points per game. So their defense is getting a lot better. Shout out to Frank Ntilikina. He's one of the top defenders in the league. Like, you got to watch this guy play. He really straps. So the Knicks, I don't know. They're figuring it out. So I wouldn't rule the playoffs out.
I think you make a fair point there. All right, the last question here. Top three teams that you think will succeed without their number one all-star.
You said that will succeed without?
Without the number one all-star. So what top three teams would you choose? Do you think Houston Rockets could still be a good team without James Harden? Do you think OKC could still be a good team without Stephen Curry? Do you think Cleveland could still be a good team without LeBron? Who are your top three
Cleveland,
teams in the league?
Cleveland, hell no. It's like they're glued to LeBron. He steps off the court, they just don't know what to do sometimes. But GSW, they've clearly proven that they can do it without their stars. Whether KD's sitting out or hurt, they're blowing out teams. Steph Curry's sitting out hurt, they're blowing out teams. Draymond sitting out hurt, they're blowing out teams. So I think GSW is definitely in there. Rockets, I don't think they'll do it without James Harden, per se, but I think they can do it without Chris Paul, just because they're, you could tell they're like, when Chris Paul was sitting out, they were doing really well as well, but that's because they already did it without Chris Paul before. So it makes sense. They kind of already had that chemistry going, whereas if it's Harden, without Harden and just Chris Paul, I don't know if they've had that glue together with just Chris Paul. So I wouldn't say the Rockets. GSW all the way.
So you got GSW, now you got to give me two more teams.
Oh, and San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio Spurs, definitely without Kawhi Leonard. Look at their record now. They're 20-10, and Kawhi just played like the last couple games. Who else? I would say... I think I'll add Memphis Grizzlies. I guess their top player is Mike Conley. And I think they'll be fine without Mike Conley.
Interesting. Okay. That's a nice little. We got Memphis Grizzlies, Golden State Warriors, and San Antonio Spurs. That's a solid list right there. I'm not going to say. All right, team. Last call for any other added comments about the NBA. Any other topics? Going once, going twice, going to three
Chris
times.
Paul, I just want to say, NOLA Chris Paul is back. Nobody believed me. I said NOLA Chris Paul. I've been waiting so long, it's like I was waiting for Santa. You know what I mean? Sitting by the tree. I said, don't worry. The Chris Paul we knew from the New Orleans Hornets, will come back to us. You know, he got a slow start in the season. The past four games, I've seen the Chris Paul from New Orleans Hornets. He is balling out. Even when he's getting 31 points. He's still having 11 assists. His three-point shot has increased, and his percentage is very efficient. He's averaging only 2 turnovers while averaging 11 assists. No other point guard is doing that. That's very efficient. He's literally clutch as ever. He practically saved the Rockets in the last few games as well. He's really playing aggressive, getting steals per usual. But Chris Paul is looking vintage. He's looking very healthy.
No look, Chris Paul is back, and we'll end it with that. All right, Bryce.
Right here,
I'm going to
go back.
Thank you.
Rapper, soccer, hacky, sacker, cocky, khaki, jacket, jacker, slap, happy, faggot, slapper, whoop, whoop, a rocky, rocket launcher, shake that lappy, taffy, jolly, raunchy rapper, bang, 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 skeet, 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 do that. Change the three retweet the album, feel like 92. Now take that bumpy heat, three peak. Stand tall, I said, cruising on that LSD. Ask Joseph about my deal, he look back, to hell yeah, let's see. This shit my favorite song, you just don't know the words. But I still fuck with you, you just ain't never heard. It go like count that stack, pop that captain down that jack. All my niggas hit that zen, and all my ladies out that back.
My jam, it's 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 my jam.
I'm back to pack on hands with Young Cletus to pack my back. Little nigga with a nose ring, that's right. I'm just here to rap them songs. Rag on my hair, rap weed in Vegas, rocking Vega Bomb. Sing the song, oh, you don't know.
What?
Well, I still bang with you, hang with you, sit, drink with you, as long as I can sing with you live. This shit my favorite song, you just don't know the words. But I still fuck with you, you just ain't never heard. It go like count that stack, pop that captain down that jack. All my niggas hit that zen, and all my ladies got that back.
My jam, this my jam.
Niggas, please be focused. That Beano, you know this. He rapped the home of Sosa. You know I'm from that zone 6. You know I rap that zone shit. You know your hood is so clear. As God, as my witness, this Will Smith spit real shit. I'ma be that. CG busy getting where we at. Bought your girl some new knee pads. You're fucking with me, BP bag. My stars, he get. She said, it's my favorite time. Hold my purse. Now she on the floor, dropping like it's high. You blasted shit in Abercrombie when your work is finished. Your mom won't play it in the car cause it got cursing in it. Your boy like, I'm the one who showed you he won his percentage. Cause you were like, this ain't the nigga you said spitting, is it? Two-step, white dudes Harlem Shake. Why you laughing? Cause you Harlem Shake. I was never fake, I was just too good to be true. That's acid rap, we killed the track. You had your chance and be no tool.
This shit my favorite song, you just don't know the words. But I still fuck with you, you just ain't ever.
It go like count that stack, pop that captain down that jack. All my niggas hit that stack, and all my ladies got that back.
It's my jam, it's my jam, it's my jam, it's my jam. About that jam, about that jam, about that jam, about that jam. It's my jam, it's my jam.
Tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own. All
Welcome right.
Back, you.
Oh, awkward moment. You go. You take the lead, Patrick.
You got it, Seb.
All right. So welcome back. Sorry for coming on to the show late. I got my siblings with me in town. Just wanted to show them a good breakfast this morning. We just want to talk about something real quick, you know, see if people believe the hype about this kid, Trey Young from Oklahoma. Yesterday, he put on a show. He had something to do with Oklahoma's first 34 points. He either assisted or scored in those first 34, shooting from anywhere on the court, taking it to the basket, looking like a true NBA prospect. So we just want to know, guys. Kene, are you a buy or sell on this Trey Young kid?
Buy or sell in what regard?
So do you think he can continue this stellar play for the duration of the year and become, you know, a lottery pick and take it to the next level? Or is he just going to be one of those college athletes that, you know, they have good games in spurts, maybe make it to the NFL, and then the NBA, excuse me, and then never hear about him again?
I think I'm going to buy. He added 10 assists in his in 29 points. His team beating Wichita State, which is number 3 in an upset. He clearly has a skill here. I can see it. And he has the confidence, which is very important. And he has the support of his team, which I think is the biggest thing when the team is getting you involved like that. Coach, having you a part of plays, et cetera, it creates the right exposure and it helps you develop rather quickly. So I think the skill is there. He's going to have the eye of the NBA. However, is it going to translate in the NBA? That's a different question. I think, like I said, as long as they keep him heavily involved, players like this who are basically like the team's entire game plan, they have the advantage of developing quickly. So I think skill-wise, he'll be ready for the NBA. He's just going to have to get a little more athletic, especially because he's a smaller guard, especially in frame size. But, I mean, they'll start feeding him right when he gets to the NBA. He has the money, he has the chefs and everything, and the trainers. So I think I'm a buy. I'm a buy.
I'm calling it here. Trae Young will be the best point guard in 2020. Done deal. Wow. Heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Best point guard in 2020.
So 2020, that takes – so he gets drafted 2018. So then that – so is that his sophomore year or rookie
year?
He's going to be the best point guard. Sophomore year, he's going to give him a year in the NBA to fully blossom. Okay.
Fully blossom.
I could buy it. I could buy it. I mean, I'm with you, Pat. He's definitely going to need some time. He's not just going to come out and, you know, just dominate the league. I don't think he's built that way. You know, to those points Kanae was making about, you know, taking some time to get his veggies in and bulk up with the NBA training. I think that's going to be important. I don't know. It's interesting. I like seeing it in college basketball. It's just I remember seeing Steph Curry at Davidson. You know, he's dropping 45 and going off, and no one really thought that was going to translate to the NBA. And then look at him now. I just don't know if he has that. If he's going to have that same edge.
And the thing is, it's going to be key to whoever team drafts him, which I think on a team, Steph Curry took time to develop because he didn't have a team around him. Steph Curry was still dropping points when he was at Golden State early on, but he didn't get recognized and noticed until the team itself started winning. So depending on what team he gets drafted to and what is placed around him, I actually think he could be successful at New York with Kristaps Porzingis, because now that allows him to kind of open up and Kristaps can do what he does on the outside. But we'll see when that time comes. Until for now, Oklahoma may be a ranked team and should be a team to watch out for because they got two freshmen that's banging. We'll see how they do.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to be a fun team to watch, especially when it gets time to go near the tournament. You know, we're going to see if this kid's really the real deal. Will he put the team on his back or, you know, will they just fizzle out?
Very true.
He's 181 pounds, by the way.
just
so
for the record.
So he's definitely going to need to show
Sweeties. Oh, man. Yeah, it'll take him a little time to get his weight up, but I think he'll be all right. As long as he plays smart about it and, you know, doesn't try to go to the basket like he is now, I think if he tries to do that right away in the NBA, he may get hurt and not have a long career.
Facts.
Facts on facts.
So are there any other college teams that you guys have been watching that you think are exciting or disappointing you up to this point?
Well, I'm biased.
I know.
So I'm always going to go with Kentucky Wildcats.
you believe in the freshman model?
I'm the freshman blue, you know what I'm saying? We're out here, we're just balling. 9-1, no big deal.
That's real. I've been a little disappointed in Kansas this year. Like, I was watching them last night, and they barely won. They've been struggling the past couple games, and, you know, it's one of these teams loaded with superstars, and it just makes you wonder, you know, how long can this one-and-done model work for college basketball? When you don't have time to fully develop a team chemistry, or you have no one with tournament experience or even, you know, experience playing a college game outside of, you know, those beginning tournaments. It just makes you question it.
So do you think they should change the rules?
Personally, I would love to see players stay 2 years. I think, like it doesn't make sense physically like it does with college football that they have to stay 3 years. You know, it takes time for your body to physically be able to play in the NFL with those grown men and opposed to the NBA. But I think it does these players a bit of an injustice by allowing them to leave so early. Yes, during the NBA, there's the opportunity to develop quicker because of the level of competition. But at the same time, if you're not ready, you could end up being a great player that just doesn't make it. And then on the other hand, you have college basketball where you have all these players that just come and go. And imagine how a Kentucky team with players that stay 2 years. You'll get someone like Anthony Davis, John Wall, you know, all these players on the same team, and then that could be crazy. Imagine watching that when it comes to March Madness.
That's true. But I think the other side of that argument, though, is that then you don't get NBA being as exciting as it could be because now you're holding players up. Because if you look at the NBA now, there's not many old heads that are exciting to watch, but LeBron, really, yeah, Ginobili, maybe. Most of it is filled with very old players. I mean, young players. Not many people are excited to watch places with people like Carmelo that are still old and still in the game. But nonetheless, they try to make their name. So if you think about it, if you keep down players a little bit longer in college, now the NBA isn't as exciting as it could be. Because now in the NBA now, they're going to be prone to, like, sitting players. They're going to be prone to, like, play for the playoffs. And anyways, the NBA, that's what they play for anyway. But I think the excitement of young players is that they're young. They're young, so they have a little bit more, like, juice on their legs so that you don't need to save them butt so much. That's why you see, like, Greek the Freak playing as much as he can, even though he's a freak of nature. That's why you see people like Lonzo Ball playing as much as they can. Like, these are the exciting players, and these are the players that causes the money to go into the NBA. I think holding them for an extra year, it's like they're not getting paid to stay in playing college basketball. That's another thing. They aren't getting paid there. You can't stop someone from getting their paychecks. I personally don't want no one stopping me from getting my paychecks, and I'm trying to get my paychecks. So I don't think it's right for the NCAA to hold them back and take more money in which they already are taking from these players.
That's a very valid argument, Patrick. I really never thought of it that way. You know, and college basketball is already a $1 billion industry that the players don't get to touch anyway. You might as well let them go get a paycheck for once. Very good points there.
Those are very valid
points. All right, so we're going to do the last call for college basketball here.
How do you guys feel about how UNC is playing? Their defense is extremely disappointing, as Roy Williams says.
Patrick, being that UNC is your team, I think you should take the lead.
How their defense is playing is your argument currently, sir? That is your argument.
That's coming from the coach, Coach Roy Williams.
That's because Roy Williams is obviously a perfectionist. We are still number 7. We're still leading in rebounds here, all right? We are an impressive team nonetheless, still young, still strong. So don't come for us, all right? No need for that. There's no need for that. We got people like Jaleek Stone, who's a freshman dropping double-doubles. We got my boy May, number 32. I call him White the Greek, who's also been balling.
Are you buying on USC?
I will definitely buy on UNC. The thing is, all you haters were out there last year being like, oh, no, UNC's not that good. Oh, my God, they suck. Who won the national championship? You're only as good as your last championship, all right? And who won it?
I'm hitting.
The Tar Heels.
Snooze.
Only
it's
as
about
good
time.
As your last championship.
It's about
it's
time.
About, it's about time that we won championships. Do I have to go through the history of UNC basketball for you? I'm more than happy to if you want me to. I don't
want
to take
Patrick, didn't one of their players dunk on you back in 7th grade?
Dunk on me? What?
Yeah.
What foolishness has Bryson been telling you in your ears, all right? you got to hear
I heard there
Wait,
was
Patrick,
a 7th Woods incident.
Didn't 7th Woods dunk on you, bro?
There's no proof of Devin was dunking on me at all.
We can pull up his seventh grade hoop mixtape.
If there was proof, I would show it. But there is no proof.
Oh my gosh. Right, yo, how did he dunk on you though?
He didn't dunk on me. I don't get how you keep believing this.
Was it body to body, or was he like just on the side of you type thing?
All right, let me set this record straight here. Y'all obviously got some factual information from a telephone somehow that is incorrect. All right, so me and Seven Woods were in the same league back when I played in high school basketball here. All right, when we played in high school basketball here, we was in the playoffs, and we were playing his school, Hammond, which I went to Portugal at the time. This was the semifinals in something. Seven Woods at the time was in eighth grade. I was a senior in high school. Our coach said that they have this eighth grader who he thought at the time was overrated. I was like, oh, eighth grader, probably not that good. We can toughen him up. We'll be fine. Just lo and behold, the kid was very good. Very magnificent, actually. He finished to the hoop very easily. He actually shot the ball very, very well. He was the only thing that the team had. We tried to triple team him, tried to double team him. Kid was a lot better. So, lo and behold, he never dunked. He didn't dunk that entire game because he couldn't jump. He didn't start jumping until he was a freshman. So something happened between the eighth grade to the freshman year that I'm not sure. You probably trained a good bit. Dude probably finally got his buddies. I'm not really sure. But on the hoop,
he was using the Vertimax.
He used the Vertimax. He trained very hard. He's a good player. It's going to take him time to develop because he can't be athletic in UNC because there's a lot more structure of a team than Hammond was and what it was in high school. Same thing with Zion, who knows what Zion will come out to be as well when he comes out of high school. But those same exact things. I think Seven Woods now is on a more structured team, so he has to find his way as a sophomore now. But I think he will once Joel Berry probably goes out the game and not in the game anymore. And that's
apparently,
what I say.
Apparently, Seventh Woods been dunking since seventh grade, though.
I mean, that's probably true. He's been dunking since seventh grade. But that video that comes out, I'm like, he never dunked on me.
Okay.
He never dunked on me.
Is there something in the water in North Carolina that's not in South Carolina?
He's actually from South Carolina. He's not even from North Carolina. So we all drinking the same water. Because I got the exact same bunnies.
All right.
Did you get dunked on by me, Kenneth? Last call.
It's all me ever get seen in my life. Girl, me want fi just squeeze ya, put me thing right around ya. Girl, you give me the tightest all me ever get seen in my life. Oh, me hide them try and me no care. Me take it anytime, anywhere. And that is clear, so me no care. Long as a woman, I will be there. Me want a girl right to kill her. Yeah.
sing. Let's make love.
Good morning, world. If you're just tuning in, you're tuned into The Last Call. We start our show at 10 a.m., but you may be just tuning in at 10:54, but it's okay. You still got 30 full minutes with us. Right now, we're about to jump into it hot, a little bit of NFL action. First off, I would like to say to all you Eagles fans out there, I'm here in Philly right now, and it feels a little bit down here, a little bit sad. It was snowing. Everyone at the bars is kind of a little bit more down because guess that Carson Wentz guy is not there anymore. So I want to start off our NFL section by first, let's give a moment of silence for my man Carson Wentz. RIP to one of the nicest football players this year. We call him the Redhead Ginger Ninja. I mean, he's been killing it at the Philadelphia Eagles, but he's not there anymore. And you guys have to believe in Nick Foles. So I'm here in Philly to make sure you guys know who you believe in. Nick Foles, your quarterback. Hopefully he can take you to the playoffs, probably take you to the first-round loss. But he may make it. He may allow you to make it. I want to say RIP to Carson Wentz, and we'll do a quick moment of silence for him. All right, now we're going back into a little bit of NFL action here. All right, we got a big game here, Seb. We talked about it last week, and time is here. Steelers versus the Patriots. How you feeling about
this
game?
Oh, I'm really excited about this one. I'm not going to lie. I can't wait to watch it. I have a lot of feelings, but after the way the Patriots played last week, you know, I'm a little skeptical. They let Jay Cutler have a career day on them. And if Jay Cutler can throw for three touchdown passes, they should be very, very scared about what Antonio Brown is about to do to them tonight because he's been playing out of his mind. And he might just go off and remind Malcolm Butler and every other DB on that Patriots defense that he is the real deal and that, you know, it could potentially be a long night for that secondary. I'm kind of concerned about them.
Very.
And then that's just going to open it up for Le'Veon. So I'm curious to see what the Patriots do tonight. Hopefully Tom Brady can bounce back from his performance last week so it can be a good game. If not, this will – sadly not be the game of the week if Brady doesn't perform the way Tom Brady usually does. But I think on this one, I'm going with the Steelers. I want to see what the black and yellow and the three-headed monsters that they have down there can do today.
I like the call. All right, back to our man, the famous Dying Eagles against the Giants. How do you feel about this, Kene? I know you're an Eagles fan. Yeah. All right.
Eagles will still fly, as contrary to most of the haters' beliefs. You know, we're just hoping that Nick Foles can look the way he looked back in 2013. We're trying to bring back the 2013 Nick Foles, who was under Chip Kelly. But if he can just stretch out the run as much as possible, that's the goal. I'm not concerned about our defense. And the Giants are garbage. So it's going to look like a nice little win out here, you know. Not too concerned. We already clinched the playoffs. You know, it's looking great for us. Cowboys are trash. So, you know, we're ahead of our division.
I don't think that was a point of emphasis or conversation that needed to be brought up at the time.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Let's,
I just wanted to bring that up.
Let's focus on the conversation.
A little bit of shade floating in the air today.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. And, yeah, let's talk about the Cowboys going to lose to the Raiders.
Silence because they will win. All right, got it. So, on to the next team.
Is that what it is?
The Packers come back with a healthy Aaron Rodgers against a very, very sometimes exciting, energetic Panthers. Who do we take in this game, Seth? Do you take Aaron Rodgers to come back and do what A-Rod does? Or do you think and the defense can kind of overcome that?
Yes, I'm really excited about A-Rod coming back. He's coming back with 3 games left. I think they're currently on like a 7-game win streak. Yep. And they have a 9% chance to make the playoffs with the hardest schedule remaining in the NFL. So I guess we're really going to get to see if A-Rod is the real deal. I know Green Bay went on that amazing run. It was the last year or the year before when they went on a good end-of-the-year run. But unfortunately, I think they're going to fall to the Panthers today. I think Killer Cam and the Panthers are going to take it. And then from there, though, I do think they'll win those last two. But it should be interesting. I hope A-Rod comes back and, you know, he plays like he's A-Rod. But I'm sure it's going to take some time. He might favor that arm a bit that, you know, coming off that broken collarbone. It should be interesting, though. I'm happy A-Rod's back. It's always nice when, you know, a good quarterback returns because there's only so many of them in the NFL these days. What's your take on it, Pat? How do you think A-Rod's going to do on his first game back?
I think Carolina takes this. I think A-Rod is an exciting player, but nonetheless, if you're Carolina, if I'm the Carolina defensive coordinator coach, I'm sending pressure to A-Rod all the time. This dude's injured, and we're going to attack that injury. That's what you should do as a defensive coordinator here. You should make him afraid when he thinks that pressure's coming, that he's going to get hit, that he thinks about that injury. I'm not saying you re-injure the guy. But you make it a little. You make it notice that you need to remember that injury and be careful how you throw it out there. I think if Carolina can get to him in that manner, they can win the game here. I think it's going to take time.
Wait, isn't his collarbone not completely healed?
It may not be. Who knows? My question for Pat was going to be: but A-Rod scrambling around in the pocket is almost when he's at its best. So do you think that's an approach they should take the whole game? Because then you're going to put a lot of stress on those DBs. And, you know, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, they've been missing their boy A-Rod. They can't wait to get into a scramble drill with A-Rod back in the helm.
True. And I think that could make a difference with him being mobile here. But, again, I think if you're Carolina, you send the pressure around the edges and you make him stay in that pocket. You make him either step up in the pocket and throw. But if you allow him to roll outside and get around that, you're probably going to lose the game because that's when A-Rod's at his best, and that's where he can feel more comfortable because he has the vision to now see and throw, as I do in Madden all the time. It's kind of one of the best plays when you have the option to run, throw. Seb, you may be able to talk more on this and how you take these losses of how I'd be able to execute such a play, but we can take that offline and talk about that more with people on Twitter if you would like.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Do you
I can't wait to return
protect,
home.
Do you believe they'll protect Aaron Rodgers, though, or do you think that Aaron Rodgers is finding his way out, considering the fact that Packers have allowed 43 sacks this season, which is the third most in the NFL?
I think they're going to make protection a point of emphasis this week in practice. They're going to be like, listen, we have our franchise quarterback coming back. You guys have already let him down once. Do not let it happen again. Although it's 9%, we still have a chance to make the playoffs. And so I think that's something they really drill down in practice. So if they let their quarterback get hurt again, it's time to, you know, find a new offensive line coach and line.
Paychecks are getting cut. Cut. People wouldn't be making money if Aaron Rodgers is getting hurt again.
Oh, yeah.
I think at that point, some of the coaches are online. Someone's getting done. That's also crazy. If you think about it, this year, we've had more QB injuries than I think a lot of other years. Like, most quarterbacks this year have been injured. Jameis Winston, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton to a degree this year. It's been an interesting year. I mean, we've seen the most exciting quarterbacks have all gotten injured this year.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, at which point do you have to reel it in? You know, these mobile quarterbacks have become such a part of the offense and using their athletic ability, but you got five of the best quarterbacks in the NFL that have gotten injured. You know, two of them with season-ending injuries, one with he missed most of the season. It's like, at which point do you say, all right, maybe we need to go back to a more traditional model because these quarterbacks are so hard to find. We can't risk, you know, losing someone like Carson Wentz with the torn ACL, you know, for the remainder of the, for an entire season. So it's scary. I think the game's going to have to figure it out.
I think this is also another problem. I was thinking about this point that we're getting to a point now with the NFL, I think, would actually make rule changes, because if you look at it, because the most exciting players are getting injured, ratings on TVs are also going down. Like, you only have a few teams that people are like, oh, I'll be willing to go watch. That right there is maybe like, I just think people love to watch the Packers usually. People love to watch the Panthers sometimes. But then after that, you may go to the Eagles, but they just lost Carson Wentz, so we'll see what they do. Used to be the Broncos in their defense, but that's not really there anymore. The Steelers are exciting to watch because of Le'Veon Antonio. And then you have the Rams. After that, you may have the Seahawks, and that's about it after that. No one's really watching, and then the Cowboys, because, you know, everybody loves the Cowboys. No one's really watching the NFL no more. And I think the NFL should probably reevaluate and see, like, making sure they're allowing the ratings to stay up and make sure they're allowing – people to make sure they're staying in the game and staying healthy. So be curious to see how the NFL builds a take on that as well.
That's a good point. I mean, you already saw they made the rule change with the NFL celebrations, you know, so they're trying to, you know, make every little effort they can to have these ratings jump up. So I think that's a good point. I mean, you know, they always make rules for quarterbacks, especially after Tom Brady, you know, towards ACL, they created the Tom Brady rule with heading below the knee, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a rule about these quarterbacks running outside of the pocket and down the field.
Very true. Very, very true. All right, guys, last call right here. One more story we have to talk about. It's crazy because I think the 90s, there were some wild times back there because everyone's getting exposed in the 90s, be it hip-hop, NFL, comedians, actors, whatever it may be. So, guys, Marshall Faulk, Warren Sapp, and Don McNabb all – among retired players accused of sexual misconduct, a former NFL Network employee. How do you guys feel about this?
Whoa.
Personally, I'm really disappointed when I saw these articles hit. You know, those are all names you set up that a lot of people looked up to at times. You know, Marshall Faulk seems to be like a very stand-up guy. Donovan McNabb was once, you know, the heart and soul of Philly. Warren Sapp had a great career, but then when you read a story about Marshall Faulk making his assistant sleep with him in the bed whenever they travel in nothing but a thong, you know, you're just like, all right, come on, dude. Yes, you're paying her a great salary and that, but, you know, that's not part of the job description. I think it comes to a point you're abusing your power, and that's just not right, you know. And if someone like Marshall Faulk, you just have to be disappointed in that. Especially when she said it's been going on for 2 years. Yeah. It's just like, come on, guys. And it's just, I don't know, it's getting real sad because it seems like there's a new one every day.
There is, man. It seems like people are left and right getting exposed for all the dirt that they've been hiding. Social media, all of it's coming out live and direct. No one's safe. They should always be careful what they're doing. I guess they weren't that safe in the 90s. These people were reckless. Read some of these things, like, you got Warren Sapp allegedly he's urinating in the restroom in front of one of their female employees, saying, "Sorry, mama, but your office shouldn't be our shower. The former defensive tackle also was accused of giving her sex toys as Christmas gifts for 3 years in a row. Then you got Marshall Faulk. He stroked and pulled out his genitals in front of her. They also had an incident where he also pinned her against a wall, demanding her to give him oral sex. Like,
what?
All
the
these cases all over the place, and like, this is just not okay for such stars to be doing this.
Anyone at all. And then it's like, you know, I hate to use the aspect too, but physically, these are also men that just like shouldn't be touching anyone, and they're forcibly just bringing themselves upon women, which just makes the situation even worse. It's like Warren Sapp, you could toss almost anyone in the NFL with a single finger, and you're forcibly putting yourself on a woman. It's like, come on, guys. Like, I know your parents raised you better than that. I know they did. Oh, man.
I hate to end on that note, guys, but that may be the last call right there.
Yeah, it's really hard to come back from that.
Raise your boys better. That's what it's going to be, man.
We're going to start to move here on the last call. Raise your boys better. Here we go. We'll be right back.
pray for me. It was God that brought Drake to me, even bought the nigga Kanye for me. Blessed. But the nigga shot big, made a nigga feel ashamed of the city where he lives. Make a nigga hate the logo on the Dodger cap. Thinking back to that Beamer, wish my nigga Pac was strapped. But I'm dreaming Las Vegas Boulevard, a Phoenix Sun, bullet scars. Everybody king of diamonds till the feds pull their car. Not the deck though. Hip hop was better off when it was just Dre, Starface, the Esco. Memoirs of the gold chain. It's a cold game, nigga Johnny Coltrane. Black Versace's with the gold frame. Niggas say they sold cane, that's a bold claim. 14 had a brain that could throw flames. So strange, had to blow they mind. Cobain. Mama forgive me cause I'm trying to make a living, huh? The niggas hating cause that rose fan I'm killing, huh? Niggas shining like they hanging from the ceiling, huh? Me and Ye killing.
Nothing like my G.
Lord willing, I see a billion, so then I let my nuts hang.
Nothing like my GDP, man.
Throw them suicide doors up and let that Holy Ghost swing.
Nothing like my GDP, man.
That's that crack music, nigga. Never spit a verse cause I was making trap music, nigga. I'm not an army, I'm a movement. The flow is water, Andre tried to ice cube him. Ice Cuban, roof translucent. Chick on my side trying to get my truths loose. When I'm talking about God, she posted by her head. Now she all on the blog, steady posting by her head. Got me thinking like a father, is the world safe? Got me clinging to my daughter like shark fins. And water rocks in my ears, sunk the Titanic. This my life and it's exactly how I planned it. Damn it, God says everything happens for a reason. I seen four seasons at the Four Seasons. Take that chinchilla off poor kids, it's freezing. Cooking up in the same pot they ain't got to pee in. Mama forgive me cause I'm trying to make a living, huh? The niggas hating cause that rose fan I'm killing, huh? Niggas shining like they hanging from the ceiling, huh? Me and Ye killing.
Nothing like my GDP.
Lord willing, I see a billion, so then I let my nuts hang.
Nothing like my GDP.
Throw them suicide doors up and let that Holy Ghost swing.
Nothing like my GDP.
Pieces on gold leashes, cruises around greases, make it cohesive. I'm the sun shining with God features. Draw closer to a true blood bleeder. Soul of a southern preacher. Went from dinner with bottom feeders to world leaders. We throw the peace up, knowing that the world need us. Eagerness to live life and see the bright lights. The sacrifices we made is sort of Christ-like. At the after party, thinking what the afterlife's like. He paid for.
Hear ye, let's tote. Let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate wealth and bypass plight for the night. Drinks up.
DJ Omega.
Back like I never ever left in the first. While I go back in the best on the earth. Breath full of perf. A legend out here and I'm in the careers. By the end of my year, two quarts when you mention my gear. Low. Little showboat, nigga says Moco. Rose for the hoes in the VIP. Gotta do them all like T.I. Whatever you like, cause whatever the night, I might give you the pipe unless you pedaling bikes. I mean, cycling. I was liking it. Hit me up a couple days, we can try again. I need Henny on the rock, my queen top notch. And I keep a fly girl like Jenny from the block. I hate you women, Frostburg women. Throw around game, Strasburg kitchen. Tonight, no pitches. Everything straight. And we gon' toast up for the niggas that hate. And we gon' drink dark, we gon' take it to the face. And I got some gold bottles, first place. No metal here. I'm forever here. Hands up, DJ. Let him hit.
you want, love. Fuck a coastal.
Get your own cup. Every day I've been going around and telling stories. Boy, you know me. And about it, your mother grow me. No. Give me some beer, so let me sing something first. Me go so. Oh, na, 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 na. Oh, na, 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 na. Oh, na, 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 na. Oh, na, 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 na. It's all about Romy and the big fat sister Naomi. You two of them claim to them know me. All them arguments throw me, throw me, throw me. The boy their name Romy and the mooring sister Naomi. You two of them claim to them know me. All them arguments throw me, throw me, throw me. But me wonder Romy, how him fi know me? How I toss me man and crack down me go live a young see to grow me. What the boy owe me, him argument show me. Him gal want blow me, two tears and me blew me. Me here now you owe me, a 15 auntie. Me check it out deep down to the grandma what. Me sorrow grudge, the boy grudge me. The boy bad mind me, that's why me argument just and I row me. And him big fat sister now you me. The two of them claim that them know me. And them argument show me, show me, show me. That boy their name row me. And him big fat sister now
Welcome back to the last call. So we're wrapping up today's segment. We're just going to go through the scores for the day. Kenny, why don't you lead us off?
All right. So up first we have Eagles versus the Giants. Who do you have winning that matchup?
That's right. The Eagles. I mean, Giants are honestly trash. So even a hurt Eagles team can beat them, honestly.
I think I'm going with the Eagles, too, on that one. Bengals and Vikings.
The Vikings.
Yeah, I think that's going to be quite an easy win for the Vikings on that one. Up next week.
Yeah, and I think Cincinnati's going through a lot, too.
So
apparently Marvin Lewis is leaving. I think Cincinnati is going through a lot, too. Apparently Marvin Lewis is leaving at the end of the season. So the head coach has been there for, like, since I can remember, honestly. He said he's leaving, so.
Yeah.
I can't imagine things are too kosher in the locker room.
They're definitely going through it. So we have the Cleveland Browns, LOL, versus Baltimore Ravens.
The Browns. I have
to
go to the Browns. Flash Gordon is back. Flash Gordon is back. They're going to win before the season's over. Flash Gordon's back, man. They almost won last week, but, you know, the Browns managed to ruin it, so.
Don't hold your breath, man. I think the Browns should just look next year. They're 0-13. they might actually go the rest of this winless. I don't know how that's possible, but
I think if you go winless in the season, if you go winless in the season, you should be able to get two first round draft picks, like two top 10 draft picks.
If you go winless,
because the Browns need it,
your team should get dropped to like a development league. It should be like soccer, like they move your whole franchise to like.
I agree.
But up next is the Cardinals versus the Redskins. You going for your DC squad?
No, actually, I hate the Redskins, and they're horrible. The Cardinals aren't much better, but they are better, so they're going to win.
And
that's a toss.
You said they what?
They're going to win. It's a toss-up, but they're going to win.
You don't believe in your D.C. Redskins?
No. Only Wale believes in D.C. Redskins. And if you believe in Wale, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Damn. up next, we got probably one of the most entertaining matchups. Today, Green Bay Packers versus the Panthers.
Gotta go with Cam. Cam needs to keep winning. He's gonna keep winning, so he's gonna make it do what it do. Aaron Rodgers, unfortunately, you're running into Cam Newton when he's in winning mode, so it's looking like an L for the Packers.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's looking like an L for the Packers. This year, they're allowing way too many sacks. They're not protecting their quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is coming in not completely healthy. So I can imagine, you know, he might play a little different, a little concerned, et cetera, especially with the lackluster O-line. They're also not really doing a good job with the run game. And when Panthers have Jonathan Stewart getting a lot of carries, they're doing pretty well. So if they can take advantage of Packers' horrible defense. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I'm going with Panthers on that one. Then up next we have the Jets versus the Saints. So I hate the Jets.
Patriots
fan.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Well, spoken like a Patriots fan, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints for this. Actually, I would like the Saints to lose just because I would want the Panthers on top of their division. However, I think the Saints are going to win.
Okay, last call because we only got 30 seconds left. We got 30 seconds. New England or Pittsburgh?
Ooh, I'm going with Patriots. Who you going with?
Yeah, okay. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know they're going to get this done. It's light work, you know. This is what Antonio Brown does. Probably going to put up over 200 yards receiving against New England's horrible defense.
News button.
So here we go.
Snooze button.
It's the end. Go Eagles. Unfortunately, y'all suck, but
Shout out Wale.
Shout out Wale. Shine album.
Yeah. Go get that. He just dropped an album called Shine.
All right, y'all, last call. We hope you guys enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for listening to us. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, and things to think about for next week is LeBron James on steroids. All right, happy Sunday, everybody.
Happy Sunday. Raise your boys well.